I'll let you in on one of Ventura's best-kept secrets. Bank of Books sells brand-new books. Many of you think of Bank of Books as a used bookstore only. Bank of Books is known for its large selection of rare, hard-to-find, and used books. Now they've added new books to their selection. If you go in, it's a warm, friendly place, similar to one of those British bookstores you see in the movies, but with a broader selection. Knowledgeable employees, not recent high school graduates, wait on you. Voted number one bookstore in Ventura by the VC Reporter for the seventh straight time. Two convenient locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2486 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Bank of Books, a reader's best friend.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Today's theme is getting ready for 2011. Each of my three guests is telling us something to better prepare us for the year ahead. My first guest is known as the Goals Guy. He helped us set goals for 2011 and keep them with his 100-day challenge. My second guest discussed this year's hottest topic, social networking. He gave us the Smart Entrepreneur's Guide to Social Networking. My next guest will peel back the curtain of senior management and businesses to reveal things that we should know, but our bosses won't tell us. She's a change agent who helps clients turn situations around. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Colleen Kettenhofen is the queen from troubled to turnaround. She doesn't just talk about overcoming adversity. She's lived it. Colleen has a real in-the-trenches perspective of overcoming adversity in tough times. Colleen has triumphed in her own biggest battle, overcoming a devastating cancer diagnosis 5 years ago, almost to the day that her mother passed away. It's a beyond resilience. It's bouncing back higher in the face of adversity. That's her theme. And she is the co-author of the book Masters of Success, along with several other very famous authors, Ken Blanchard and Jack Canfield. Colleen enjoys hiking, cruises, and the great outdoors. She lives in Phoenix with her director of goodwill, her dog, Joe. And welcome to the show, Joy, that is. Welcome to the show. How are you today, Colleen?
I'm great, Billy. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. Now, let's set this up for listeners to just give it some credibility here. You're a change agent because you've overcome some tremendous challenges in your life. Give us your background and why it makes you uniquely suited to give us advice.
You know, when I had cancer, and actually it was a number of years ago, and then 5 years almost to the day that my mom passed away, I ended up being, what did I really want to do with my life? I'd been in sales for a long time. I'd been in advertising, executive, as well as a manager and supervisor. And to make a long story short, that was actually how I got into the speaking business. When you think, my gosh, life can be short, you know, what what are you going to do with it? And so I wanted to help people. I like the traveling of my job. I just wanted to do something different where I wasn't in an office, but where I would be inspiring people in some way. And so what I ended up doing was I became a trainer and a speaker with my own business, where I would go around the country, around the world as well, and train managers and supervisors on topics like how to better manage employees, or I would train employees on how to deal with difficult people, even sometimes how to deal with a difficult boss. But a lot of my training was for managers and supervisors, and the more they would tell me about what their biggest frustrations were with their employees and what they really liked from their employees, when the economy took a downturn, I thought, you know, this is information that would really help people, and I'm going to put this into a book called Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, which is coming out in a couple of months. So I conducted in-depth conversations with over 200 managers and supervisors on a variety of topics, like, you know, what are your top 10 biggest pet peeves that employees should avoid, and so forth.
Yeah, and that's what fascinated me, Colleen, and that's why you're on the show today, is because you did the research, you had a survey of over 200 CEOs, top executives, and you came up with this top 10 list, the top 10 lists of pet peeves. Let's go through that list in no particular order. What's the first thing that comes to your mind of pet peeves?
Okay. Actually, the first one, because I've talked about this a lot now, I think I almost have them memorized. Number one, not surprisingly, is excessive absenteeism and chronic tardiness. So, for example, the people who show up late and leave early, the clock watchers. You know, I know your audience would be very familiar with them. And second, and this was huge. I was surprised this came up second on the list with lower level as well as mid-level managers and supervisors and CEOs, and that is negativity, whether it's lack of buy-in or especially the complainers who don't have solutions or don't want to offer solutions or don't want to hear about solutions. And then along the lines of number two would be high drama. That's the phrase that I kept hearing from bosses, the high drama people, like the gossips who start the rumor mill, or the phrase I kept hearing from bosses was people who talk about their personal lives all day, every day. So, and I can certainly keep going, but those are probably the top three.
Well, those are certainly three things that are peevish to a lot of people, no question about it. But I want to come back to the first one, which is punctuality. And this is important because this now in the workplace, we actually have a momentous time. We've got four generations in the workplace today. We've got the traditionals, the baby boomers, Gen X and Gen Y, all competing in the workplace today. And a lot of Gen Y people say, hey, it doesn't matter. If I get the job done, I get the job done. It is all about performance. It doesn't matter if I'm here 9 to 5. It's really a matter of whether I get my job done. And if I can get that done between 9 and 10 o'clock or 12 and 1, who cares? What do you say to that?
You bring up an excellent point, Bill. That is so true. You know, as you said, it's, you know, don't judge me by what time I come in. Judge me by the results. And, you know, for a lot of managers, that just doesn't work. I mean, certainly for some, it's come and go whenever you please as long as you get the work done. And I've done some training for those organizations. Having said that, though, a lot of managers have said to me, you know, even if somebody is highly productive, it really has an effect on the other employees if they're coming in late or leaving early, because then everybody else sees that. And so they sort of look at it as what's the effect on the morale of the other employees? And then their feeling is, well, another employee, granted, maybe they're not quite as productive, but now I'm going to feel like I have to allow the same for them. And interestingly, what a lot of bosses said to me is it's not just showing up on time, but do they begin work on time, or are they going into the break room and socializing? They call them the social butterflies for 20 minutes.
So it's not just being in the door at 8 o'clock, it's being at your desk and working at 8 o'clock.
Yes, that's what a lot of them tell me they want to see.
All right. Well, now, is that going to change as the baby boomers start to retire and we have fewer and fewer baby boomers in managerial and supervisorial positions? Will they start to maybe lighten up on that a little bit and focus more on results and less on timeliness?
That's an excellent question. You know, it certainly can happen, because once the Xers and the Ys are into management, they're kind of going to be setting up the rules.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Time will tell. And, of course, we can look back fondly on this conversation and say we told you so, can't we?
Exactly.
We're talking to Colleen Kettenhofer, The Secrets the Boss Won't Tell You. So let's dive into this a little bit more. So productivity, negativity, high drama, those are things that people don't want to see. What are some of the things that bosses do want to see in employees?
Okay, that's an excellent question. And you could almost say that some of these are on the on the flip side. Certainly the first one is showing up and starting the work on time. Attendance ranks number one when bosses consider whether or not an employee is a good worker. And then number two, and this is the phrase I heard over and over, team player. They want someone who is willing to help their coworkers, help customers, help the boss. Really somebody that's easy to get along with. And I think when it comes down to another phrase that I heard, well, really from the CEOs, the phrase I kept hearing was somebody who is balanced as a second characteristic. I think what it boils down to, and Bill, you probably know this having been in management yourself, is a lot of managers and supervisors get promoted to leadership positions based on their hard skills or their technical skills. In other words, they got promoted because they were doing an excellent job, and yet now many of those skills that got them promoted, they're not using in managing people. Now it's really about managing emotions, and a lot of managers, not surprisingly, don't want to have to deal with the emotional stuff. And then number three is people who are proactive, solutions-oriented. They want problem solvers.
All right, proactive solutions, I get that. We're talking to Colleen. Colleen. Let me ask you this. I want to drill down on the point that you were making, though, about managers really being promoted from the ranks. I think that was very interesting, and it was one of the interesting parts of the research that I picked up on. So these guys that are very, very good at technical stuff, they get moved into supervisory positions or managerial positions. Here's the part that I found interesting. Your study showed that it's a long time before they actually get any managerial or supervisor training and their new position. Talk to me about that. First of all, how long is it before they get that training, and why is it so important that they get it?
That's a great question. I find that for a lot of them, when I go into an organization and I do training, or if I'm speaking at a conference, I will ask people, you know, who here, just out of curiosity, has been a manager for, you know, less than a year, you know, 1 to 3 years. And then I'll ask them about training, and a lot of them will say, you know what, this is the first training that we've had. So for a lot of them, I think when they're promoted, it's kind of swim.
Yeah, they toss them in the deep end and see how they go.
Uh-huh, exactly. And it can be costly. As you know, nowadays, you've got to be so careful, especially in a leadership position, with everything that you say and do. And I think what's a big challenge for a lot of bosses, and this is understandable, even for people who are team leaders, because a lot of people who are team leads are managing people that they're not in charge of. They're just in charge of them for, let's say, a project. So for a lot of them, what they find is that people that they're in charge of are not necessarily as motivated as they are.
Yeah. That's interesting. Now, I want to change directions, Colleen, if I can, for just a little bit, please.
Sure.
We've come out of a really dark time in American business history, certainly the recession of 2007 to 2009. Some of the scandals, Bernie Madoff comes to mind. Before that, there was Global Crossing, Enron, and so forth. And one of the things that I find interesting that I haven't heard you discuss that managers and CEOs are looking for in employees are things like enthusiasm, honesty, really being excited about doing the job, passionate.
You know what? That's interesting, because one of the chapters in the book is how to get a great job and keep it. And that's huge. When I ask them, you know, if I had a group of applicants here on the sidelines, what would you tell them you look for? And I've got a list of the top 10, and absolutely enthusiasm and passion is huge. What they've said to me is, if the applicant is not enthusiastic, if they don't show passion on the interview, I know they're not going to be passionate once they're on the job. And then on the flip side, in talking about the negatives of what bosses never want to see, I've got 10 of those. And, of course, as you know, we could be here all day with those. But talking about the honesty, number 5, lying was in their top 5 of the biggest pet peeves. And they said lying, especially on timesheets, but they said dishonesty in general and excuses in general. I like Mark Twain's saying, always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said.
Very sound advice from Mr. Twain himself. Now, another thing, we're also coming into that dark period in business where we had the megalithic people that were there. We had the Donald Trumps. We had really business owners that were bigger than life. What about what do CEOs view about humility, you know, knowing your place in life and having a sense of duty and doing your job versus, say, maybe a sense of entitlement?
Oh, my gosh. I feel like you've already read the book and it hasn't even come out. I'm serious, because in the chapter that I wrote on CEOs and the view from the top, that was actually in their top 5. They said humility, and surprisingly, they gave themselves as examples, you know, whatever people think positively or negatively of CEOs. A lot of them told me that as they were working their way up the ranks, and even now, they will admit to the people who work under them, they'll say, hey, you know, I don't know a lot about blah, blah, blah. What do you think we should do in this situation? And I think maybe that's where the proactive comes in, wanting people who are solutions oriented. But they think that is really key when employees are willing to learn and willing to ask questions about what they don't know. Humility, and with that, intellectual curiosity.
All important traits. We're talking to Colleen Kettenhofer, everybody. We're talking about the secrets your boss isn't telling you. Now, Colleen, you've got a book coming out. Tell us a little bit about the book, when that's going to be out, and also where people can find out more about you on the Internet.
Sure. The website is bouncebackhire.com.
So, and that's hire, H-I-G-H-E-R, not hire as in H-I-R-E.
Yes.
It's yes. Hire.
Good point that you just raised there, Bill. Bounce Back Higher, like you said, H-I-G-H-E-R, as in bouncing back higher from adversity. We've got free articles on there, CDs, and other tips. There are some CDs on thriving in today's multi-generational workplace and the four different generations, and also dealing with difficult people. And actually, the book is coming out. It's slated to come out in 2 months. I want to say technically March 1st. And actually, there is a chapter in there on the different generations and working well together. And I delve in a lot more detail on what bosses want to see, what they never want to see, what employers look for on interviews. And as you mentioned, the honesty and enthusiasm and passion.
That is great, Colleen. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill, for having me.
Take care, and Happy New Year to you as well. Now, it's the end of the year. This is going to be the last live broadcast that I have for the year 2010. So, big shout-out to all of my regular listeners. I want to thank you for being part of the Brainstorming family. Your comments, your encouragement, that's what really keeps me going. So, to all of my fans, Gerald, Roberta, Denise, Robert, Irwin, Terry, Brenda, well, the list is just too long to go on. Let me just say thank you for listening in 2010, and be sure to come back in 2011. Also, to my advertisers, I especially want to thank you, DMC Transmissions, 5-Day Tire, Urbane Cafe, McConnell's Fine Ice Cream and Yogurts, Bank of Books, Ventura Breeze, and Yoli's Fresh Mex Grill. Without you guys, we wouldn't have a Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And that brings us to the end of another show. We will talk to you next year here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.